Okay. So, John and Amy here, back with our morning awakenings. And we were just chatting about what it would look like to live in a space where we wouldn't project our own likes and preferences off on somebody else, and we'll explain that. So, say for example, you're selling a recliner. We'll just throw something out there because we happen to be selling one right now. And you know how when we put it out there, we advertise it, we put it out there for sale, we tell people, and we have this thing in us that's like, okay, they're going to appreciate it just as much as I do because I've done X, Y, and Z to it. You know, we clean it, we fix the little defects in it, and we're like all excited when somebody finally shows up. And that's another story too, we'll get to that. But we're all excited when they show up and they say, ah, you know what, I'm going to reupholster it. And then you're like, yeah. Excuse me?
We just had that happen on another one.
We
loved it. It's like a rare color, turquoise. And yeah, he's like, oh, where'd you get this? Oh, I think I might get new covers and reupholstery. And we're like, oh.
Yeah. So what are we doing?
We're attached to it still. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, so what we do is there's a resistance attached. And what happens is, it tries to lock us up into egos, and ego still trying to run the show, saying it has to be under certain conditions. And really what we're doing is we're projecting our own likes, dislikes, whatever, onto the other person. And all that is the egoic attempt to try and rescue something or to save something or to make us feel good. When, like Amy was saying earlier, she just said, why, you know, living in the now is so much different, you guys, because we enjoy it for why we enjoy it, not for projecting it onto somebody else, thinking they'll enjoy it. And that's individualism. That's having a free will and letting people have their space to do whatever they want with their own creativity, with that thing we were enjoying.
When you pass it on, when you sell it and release
it's so much freedom in other words. And, you know, we have relatives, we have parents and things that, oh man, they try so hard. You know, you're going to like this. Oh, you're going to love this person. Here, get on the phone with this person. I want you to talk to him. You're like, what? Wait, what? Huh? I'm not prepared. Hold on. You want me to get on there now? I don't even know this person. You know, we've had that happen with family members where they're like, hey, oh, I love this person so much. Hey, you just walked in the door, John or Amy. Do you want to talk to this person? I'm like, okay, who is it? You know, who am I talking to? You know, like, oh, it's my buddy of 30 years, and I know you'll love him. And like, you're having this inner dialogue, right? You're going, okay, I'm trapped now. I'm trapped.
Yeah. Or they share all this information about their friend to you. And you don't even, they're not your personal friend. And so, but they want you to get so excited. It's just, it's interesting dynamic. I'm sure you guys have been there with certain things. But yeah, projecting what you think somebody else will like when it's really what you like. That's such a huge one. How many people do this when they get gifts? This is another big area, right? People will buy you a gift, but they buy you what they like, thinking that you'll like it, instead of really getting to know what you like, or just having no attachments, right? So a lot of times we buy stuff for people because it's what we like, and we want them to like it. So what's that saying about us in the moment? We are still wanting a hit off of it for us versus I'm buying this, I'm not into it, but I'm buying this because I know they're into it and they really like it. And there's a release there.
Yeah, or liking us. How about that one? You know, there's objects on the outside, right? Like Amy just said. But how about us? Like, we're begging someone to like us for us. I know you'll like me. Once you get to know me, you're going to really love me. You're going to really like me. Or why would you want to leave me? You know, we have several people in our lives right now that they're having some crazy relationship things going on. And you know, we always see it from one perspective, and they're like, and we all do this. Well, I have so many great qualities and attributes, which everybody does, right? to some degree, they all have something that's very like a bull, but we see it from our perspective, like I'm the queen or I'm the king kind of mentality. Like, why wouldn't anybody want to fall in love with me? Which reminds me, we're watching this series called Victoria on Amazon Prime, and she's having the struggle right now in the season we're in, and Queen Victoria is going, wouldn't the people like me? Why wouldn't they love me? She goes, I want them to love me. So what is that? What is that? Is that the internal struggle of the egoic versus the spirit? It sure is, because the ego says, I need them. I want them on the outside.
There's a void inside.
To love me. There's a void. See, when we're whole and healthy, we have need of nothing and need of no one. Why? Because we're trying to find something on the outside to fulfill us and complete us, instead of getting it all from Christ, you know, getting all from the love of God, saying, I'm whole, I'm complete. You know, just like the scripture says, there's scripture that says you are complete in Christ. Well, what does that mean? It means that he's our total package.
Yeah, well done.
And what that is a deep level of contentment. That is, I have no preferences. I live in no preferences and no judgments about myself or others. And that means that I'm saturated and one with agape, unconditional love, to the point to where I really have no needs and wants that drive me. It's fine to have needs and wants, but when they drive you and you have to have them to feel fulfilled, that's where the ego is speaking.
Right. There's something deeper you're trying to fix within you where you don't feel okay inside. There's that discomfort. There's that disturbance inside. And so I need this to happen to feel better. I need this to sell to feel better.
Yeah.
I need this to change so I feel more stable. And I'm telling you, you'll just keep prolonging things until... And why is it prolonging? It's prolonging because God is gently trying to get you to let go, so that when it comes to you in the let go state. Because if it comes to you where you're still in this needy pull, then you'll think that's how to do it every time. And God is saying, no, I just really relax and release, and I will bring it right to you. And so that you'll learn that next time when you relax and release, it comes a lot quicker.
Yeah, and it's always the better, higher thing, right? We're always, God's always, it's always the now relationship with God, but it's also meant for our expansion and our growth, our maturing. And when we allow this to happen, it's in perfect timing. That's another issue with selling a product or having a person that you want to be fixed in your life or whatever. We're learning this so much through product sales, right? Like when we're trying to sell something, it's like you want it sold in an X amount of time frame, right? Mm-hmm. Because you have your time frame.
And you want to get to the next thing you want to buy. And you right. need that money to and buy the next thing. You need that money thing, to so buy. Hurry up.
Hurry up. There's no difference in relationships. Like, hurry up, I'm lonely. Hurry up, I have needs. Hurry up.
Right.
You see this
Check
all
Check your phone a million times. Did they text yet? Hey, how are you? What's going on?
You see this all the time in church or Christianity, where people, especially singles, they're like, I got to get married because I got needs. In other words, what they're saying is, I got to hurry up and get married before I fall into sexual stuff. And then they're all worried. And what are they doing? They're doing that from a place of fear. I'm fearing that I'll fall. I'm fearing that I'll get into trouble. I'm fearing
so
they're
trying to slap a Band-Aid on it.
Yeah, I'm fearing that I won't get the next wonderful, beautiful piece of furniture, whatever it is you're selling. So it's all fear-based. Mm-hmm. And that, where is that embedded in? That's ego. The ego says that I'm not going to allow faith to rescue me or faith to bring it to me. I'm going to take fear as the motivating driving factor, and fear is going to solve the day, or fear is going to bring it my way. And it couldn't be further from the truth. Right. It pushes it away.
It's the energetic game. If you look at it from an energetic standpoint, fear is a very static, chaotic vibration. And so what it's doing is saying, I'm not safe, I'm not safe, I'm not safe, I'm not safe. So you're saying that to yourself, and then that is being broadcasted out. So the thing you want coming into you is hearing that you're not safe, you're not safe, you're not safe. And so once you dial that down into I am totally in peace and well-being, then the things you want can come right on in, because now the broadcast is, wow, you're a safe place to land. You're a safe place to come to. And so things can come right on in. And it's amazing how this works when you live in this state. So the other day, and here's another test, right? So, you know, on Facebook Marketplace, the people said, okay, yeah, we're coming. We want this certain item that you have, and we'll be there. So they drive a little ways to come. They get there and they say, oh, you know what? I hate to do this. I know it's an inconvenience to you. It's an inconvenience to us driving all this way, but this just isn't going to work for us. You know?
Yeah, when you tried to explain everything as much as you could mm-hmm. on the message or on the text or whatever.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, this deal is all wrapped up. I'm going to get this.
Right.
And then you have this expectation when they show up. And so what is the tendency?
That is a test, right? To not have expectations.
The tendency is to try to manipulate the deal.
Exactly. And try to convince them. And boy, I'm telling you, oh, God is so good. It'll give you those nudges and prompts. And when you learn in this, because to let go, if he already has told you, look, I've got a perfect person established for each one of those items. Once you know that, you won't try to manipulate and make it happen for anybody coming, because it's got to be the right fit. So you can feel that jump up inside you, and then you dial it down. And so I said to the person, hey, that's okay. No worries. You know, it's got to be right for you. You know, it's got to be right. And the guy was just shocked. He goes, hey, he goes, you know, you have a great attitude. I really appreciate that. He was like shocked. And
love it.
And so maybe that moment right there was what that was about, was for them to experience the contrast of somebody not forcing or manipulating or trying to get them to buy it and take it home.
This is a big deal.
Know that the right person's coming.
Yeah. And I've often said this going into, you know, marketing and sales, you know, when I used to train salespeople in the whole property management field, when they're trying to pitch an apartment to somebody, you know, specifically senior living, and you're talking some high end stuff, you know, they're paying thousands of dollars a month. So it's not something that's simple as selling a chair or whatever.
Right. It's resort living.
I'd tell the salespeople, because they're feeling all this pressure on themselves first and foremost, because they've had somebody drive them before they came to that company that I was now with them sitting in the same office, and they're driven, like, you need to get numbers, you need to get, you have to get X amount,
it's
have a quota.
Old world thinking.
Yeah, you have a quota to get. And so they're already intense trying to make a sale because they want the bonuses too. So there's kind of a mixed, you know, thing going on.
And then it's but, the unsafe energy.
But I'd always tell them it would kind of drive them nuts at first, because when someone would walk in for a tour, okay, I would sit there with them, the salesperson, to see how they operate and all that, not to micromanage, but you never liked that. But anyway, I'd sit there with them and watch how they did the sales process. And so I'd see this intense, tense energy trying to get the sale. And so they'd do all the talking, trying to convince them, hey, I need you to buy this apartment. I need you to rent this apartment. I need you to get da, 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 da. And everybody knows that in relationship sales, you just listen.
Or in general.
Yeah, think about that. Relational set. You're doing that on Facebook Marketplace. You're doing it, right? So I would just say, hold on. Just sit and listen. Ask an open-ended question here and there because you want to get to know them. That's what you're doing here. Yeah. You're not trying to sell an apartment. You all want to establish a relationship. And whether you get it or not, you're establishing credibility. And so... Mm-hmm. So they couldn't wrap their head around it, especially if they're in car sales before they came there, right? Because it's about banging out numbers. So it would drive them nuts, because I'd tell the couple that was sitting there, I'd say, okay, well, hey, it's got to feel right for you. If this doesn't feel like home, then perhaps it's not the home for you. So, but let us be the concierge to help find you that perfect fit. And I'd look over at the salesperson and like, what are you doing? You know? And I'd say, I'd say to them afterwards, after the couple left, I'd say, listen, if it's not a good fit, you're probably going to lose them in a couple months anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to feel so pushed out of here by your energy that they're not going to want to live here. So why not allow them to come into your space and allow the sale to happen? If it's supposed to or not.
It's a paddles up moment.
It's a paddles up moment. Let the current take you.
Mm-hmm. And see, so this is why the more awake we become, the more aware we become, the more we know there's so much unseen activity going on where God is orchestrating cooperative components, people. All you got to do is ask and stay in alignment in the flow. And allow God and the angels and everything to bring things about and move the pieces around. Versus when you're in the old world 3D thinking, you only live by your visual insight.
You really do.
You don't see all the, you know, things being orchestrated around you. You don't trust that. You only trust what your ego is telling you and what you want in the moment. Whereas you can really relinquish all that now into well-being and knowing that you are a safe place of attraction and knowing that everything is always working out and to not force somebody that's not supposed to be there. It's just the same thing with like not forcing a sale with like our items. We've had it in the past where we were trying to sell something. We couldn't figure out why this item wouldn't sell. It was priced right. It was a great, great product or whatever. And why wouldn't it sell? Well, come to find out, we ended up needing it, you know, exactly. For our next transition or something. And we couldn't see it at the time because we had a different vision of the direction we were going to be taking. And then at the last minute, God says, okay, actually, we're taking a different turn here and you're going to need that item now. So it's just letting go. Don't try to, you know, force anything. And another example with another piece of furniture we were selling. I had it again with the lady seemed really interested. She showed up and sat in the chair and she's like, oh, I'm so sorry, but I just know this isn't for me. This chair's not for me. It's not going to match with my stuff. And so she was, but thank you anyway. And so, you know, you feel a little bit of sting while you're working this stuff out, right? Till you get this down more of what God's doing of rejection, you know? But I was like, oh, nope. Okay. All right, God's got
release
the right.
And allow.
And it wasn't just a couple days later when the next person contacts, comes, she goes, oh, this is exactly what I've been looking for.
Yep.
This is perfect. I'll take it.
It's amazing how that works.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how that works. And, you know, going back to this projecting thing, and, you know, oftentimes when... And this happens a lot with people that don't understand how this energetic game works. We'll consistently say, well, don't you just love the color of that? Don't you just love the style? Yeah. Don't you just love the shape? Don't
charisma,
you just love the smell?
Charisma.
Don't you just love... And the person's standing there going in their mind, well, maybe or no, not at all. Or
You do.
Yeah,
but
you do, but it's not really
I
speaking
love.
To me. We do it with food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my goodness, think about the food. Like, oh, this is the best taco. This is awesome, right? Or you get a recommendation. How many times does that happen?
Gosh,
Hey, what is the best
restaurant.
Thai food restaurant around? Oh, yeah, you're going to love this one. You get there and you're like, huh?
It's very, very low
very
quality.
Bland. And then you're going, okay, I just listened to a projection. Now, sometimes it works, right? But not all the time because... We're trying to project from our egoic stance to say
what we like.
And then the other, instead of just saying this, hey, like Amy did with that chair or, you know, that situation with the furniture, like, hey, that's okay. If it's not for you, it's not for you.
Yeah.
And what that does is it releases the resistance on both sides.
Yeah.
So that the person feels free enough to go get what they really want, and then it frees it up for the person that was meant to have it.
Exactly. And sometimes it'll free it up to where it so intrigues them, like, whoa, wait a minute, you're not pushing this item on me? Man, maybe I'm missing out on this item.
Exactly.
Jeez, okay.
But it's important that you're not manipulating it in your mind by doing that, right? And
mm-hmm.
Amy wasn't, of course, but it's sometimes we can use that as a manipulation tactic too. Well, if I do the reverse psychology on them,
right?
You know, but if you're just honestly, openly saying, hey, God's going to take care of me. I know he's going to bring the right person in my life. I know he's going to bring the right piece of furniture in my life. I know he's going to bring the right clients in my life. I don't have to beg and pay millions of dollars for these marketing guru programs that are always coming across my YouTube screen.
Yes, while they make money and you don't because you bought their product.
Exactly. And we have a whole nother series that we're going to be developing on effortless marketing. For all of you entrepreneurs, business owners and all that, and you're going to get some real juicy nuggets out of it because it really does work. Mm-hmm. This whole energy game really works when you learn how it operates.
Yeah.
And it's simple, really, because when Jesus said, be like a child, part of that equation is, okay, what is a child's posture? Most of the time, they're just playing, having fun, learning and discovering and allowing. They're not trying to force outcomes. Now, if they are, they're in their own little egoic stance saying, oh, I'm going to break this little toy soldier because it's not fitting into the other toy soldier world. So then they force an outcome. And then what happens? They wind up getting in trouble with a parent for breaking something, or they wind up being upset. But when a child is just having fun and allowing, see, this is part of what Jesus was saying. A child remains in faith because they're not forcing outcomes.
Yeah.
And so he's like, be like little children, for such is the kingdom. And what is the kingdom? Kingdom's within you. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom within you is generosity, peace, and joy.
That's right. And, you know, I keep thinking about the scripture that says, let patience have its perfect work so that you're lacking in nothing. And this is what God's trying to do a lot of times. When you feel this delay or nothing's happening, why isn't this selling? Well, let patience have its perfect work so you're lacking nothing. He's trying to get the right person or the right situation there. And I just think about even with relationships, how, you know, we try to force and make something happen, trying to fill a void. And it's just never going to satisfy because it started off that way. If you start from a place of being fully content, it's like the old saying, why do people chase after me when I finally let go? When I was just wanting this person for the longest time, and then I stopped wanting them. Now all of a sudden they're showing up. You know,
release resistance.
It's the energy again, because now you feel safe. If you're reaching for something that sends a message out, you're not fulfilled and complete, and you're wanting something from me. So, I don't feel safe because I might let you down, you know?
Oh, man.
And when you're whole and you don't need anything in a healthy way, then people feel safe, like they're not going to disappoint you, or they don't have these expectations put on them to meet your needs. You know, it's just it's amazing, and we're so blind to it because it's something we can't see. You know, it's an energetic current we can't see, like Wi-Fi, you know.
It really is. And the same goes with people that have money. You know, I've got a guy that I've worked with contract work, and he doesn't really care about the money thing. You know, he's content with a cup of coffee and his old truck, and he's just one of these good old boys, maintenance guys. And he's just like, you know, I don't care whether I have money or not, as long as I have a roof over my head, that kind of deal. So he buys a scratch-off ticket and boom, wins $250,000 on the scratch-off ticket. He gets a little excited, but then he's like, I'll go to the place to get the money sometime. And I watched this unfold where his coworkers were like, what, take the day off, you know? And I'm kind of the guy in charge there. I says, well, yeah, just take the day off, go up there, you know, it's 250 grand. It's not like it's 10 bucks.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, I'll go sometime when I have a little time. It's no big deal. And it's that moment you're looking and saying, okay, this is why he won it, because there wasn't any resistance. Pushing it away by saying, I need it.
Right.
See, when we need and we want something, what happens, like I wrote in the book and with the conversation with Jesus in the Effortless Provision book, when we're so wanting something, it shows a deficiency, like Amy said. It doesn't show completeness. Where the love of God is our all in all, and it reveals completeness. Right. If we allow it to mature us and awaken us past the egoic stance. So the ego is always screaming out for deficiencies to be fulfilled. Lack. It's a lack of deficiencies. And so it's like, I need this, I want this, I need this, I want this. And I won't feel fulfilled or complete until I have it. No, that's external circumstances. We're trying to get on the outside in when it should be from the inside out.
And it's simply a belief, because we can choose to believe differently and start experiencing a different outcome by our simple belief. We're that powerful. You know, it's just the story we're telling ourselves is the outcome we experience.
It really is. And this is why it says now faith is the substance. So let's look at that for a second. Living in the now, your belief reveals itself. So when we begin to dial it down to living moment by moment instead of living for the future or living in the past, what it does is it reveals the faith belief that you believe in, your paradigm. So now faith is. Well, now when I'm living in the now, it examines, really, you begin to examine what you really believe. So if you believe that God's going to take care of you, if you believe that everything's going to unfold in its perfect timing,
in agreement with him,
by living in the now, then you have substance.
Yeah.
Then the substance shows up and reveals itself. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. We all hope for things. We have dreams and all that. Like, I want to sell a chair. I want somebody in my life. Well, there's the hope. And things are about the evidence of things not seen. So you have evidence now of the unseen, right? You have the evidence, like Amy was sharing.
If you can see it inside.
Here comes the lady that wants the chair and is not going to let anything stop her from having it, because it's the exact match.
Yeah, and I didn't have to convince. I didn't have to manipulate or dress it up, pump it up, you know, none of that. Just unfold, right? It's the current. Just keep flowing with the current.
Yeah, and what does that do?
Release the ones that aren't hooking in, that aren't, you know, meant to be.
Yeah, and what does that do? It causes us now to have an alignment in that belief that energetically matches what is supposed to be.
Right, and so they feel now, good and you feel good.
That's how your belief system gets straightened out, so to speak. It begins to align. The more we practice living in the now, then our belief systems begins to align. And then when we live this way, we energetically, magnetically pull things. This is the true law of attraction, you guys. If you want to look at a definition of law of attraction, well, this would be like a genuine definition, so to speak.
Yeah. Faith is the evidence.
Yeah, it's things the evidence. It, so it's all these things shall be added to you. You know, it's that living. It's that scenario. Okay. And so many people talk about, well, if you just follow this formula. Well, if you follow a formula for mechanics' sake, then you've just taken relational flow out of the equation. Because, yes, there are certain things that you do for the results, but you're not doing it for the mechanics of it. Right. I challenged a friend of mine a long time ago. He was sharing. He goes, man, I've given so much tithe and everything. God hasn't come through for me because I gave X amount of dollars and I kept tithing. And I'm so mad right now because it's not coming back to me the way I planned it. Oh, really? Okay. Well, then all you had was a formula. And your ego was taking its stand, wanting a direct result of the things that you planned out of ego. It's no different than anything else in life. Well, I want this person. I have to have this person.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to feel okay inside until I do. That's the story you're telling yourself, right? What if you told yourself this story? I'm okay inside. And because I'm okay inside, this person's safe to come. Or I'm okay either way.
Either way.
I'm okay either way. Can you imagine? Start telling yourself that. You feel a release. You feel the release of resistance. It's just choosing wherever you place your attention is what you activate. So start placing it inward. I'm okay. I'm okay. And so you start activating, you're okay.
Yeah. And you're okay. What does that do? It releases your life completely into surrender to a loving God that has it all okay.
Mm-hmm.
That is okay, completely okay, more than okay. And that's the only safe place to be.
Yeah.
Some people say, if I move to Florida, I'll be okay and safe.
Because
they're living out of a political paradigm that doesn't feel safe.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I
or Montana or Texas.
Or if I go live in the same city this one I want so much lives in, maybe they'll notice me.
Yeah, if I move to LA, into Hollywood, or if I move to Nashville, you know.
I'll be seen.
There is truth. Proximity is power. But I'm telling you, in this new age and era and a new birthing of the world, it's just God does stuff in so many different ways, right? Where you could be in Timbuktu, out in the desert or out in the woods, and you meet some Hollywood director at a cafe and says, hey, I want to hear your story. This is the thing of living this way. You know, the synchronicities happen, the divine appointments happen, and you don't have to move in your own idyllic way of, okay, I need to be in proximity. I need to dress the part. I need to do all these things. Unless God's telling you, right? This is just where you're led. Just be led, and you'll land in the right place at the right time with the right person, with the right job,
with the right piece of furniture selling right on time.
Yeah.
So anyway, so much we can talk about on this, and we will, but we just wanted to put some juicy nuggets out there that we've been really growing in and learning ourselves, but also just we're so excited to share. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, just detach from the outcome and just keep thanking the Lord, stay in the flow.
And until next time, we'd love to hear your stories about the energy and the magnetic pull coming right back to you, and we'd love to hear them. So if you want, go ahead and leave the comments below this podcast and this message, and or on YouTube.
Yeah, what happened when you let go, when you paddles up?
Yeah, what happened when you truly let go, and then something came back in a way you never thought? We'd love to hear that. You can email us too at paddlesupmedia@gmail.com. Any way you'd like to reach out, we'd love to hear from you. Okay? So until next time,
enjoy your day.
Paddles up.
Bye.